The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Each and every day of the week, it's my privilege to sit and talk with a guest, at least one guest, and I've got such a guest here today, one that I've not met personally before this interview, but somebody that I've heard about because he's part of the Christian Chamber. And it's really great to have with me today, Scott Thomas. You're one of these guys that has more initials by your name than I can even imagine here. But Scott runs Stewardship Matters Incorporated. And today's going to be a really great day to find out more about what his business is and how the issue, which is such an important biblical issue. When you think about the importance of money, Some pastors have stated it that more was said about this issue than just about any other issue of discipleship. And we know that even to the Lord Jesus, when he was watching over the widow who was giving her mite, that was such a big, I guess you could say, principle of the kingdom of God.
We're still talking about it today.
And we're still, after all this time. I mean, the widow's mite, that brought about a bunch of interest and a big lesson about giving and the role that giving plays in our lives and really the hold that when people don't give, whatever that hold is, it's like the tip of an iceberg, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we're here today to find out from Scott, but welcome to the program, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mike.
It's really going to be fun to talk about this. Now, you, I know you're part of and have been part of Orlando for a long time. Is this your home? Were you born and raised here?
Yeah, I'm a native of Orlando, born at Winter Park Hospital, went to Edgewater High School, went off to college and came back and have been active as a financial advisor. Be financial advisor for 35 years and just love what I'm doing in terms of helping people and helping them discover what's special for them. And I really feel a calling to it. And I changed my name in 2011 to Stewardship Matters. I actually used to be called the Financial Farmer, and I loved using farming metaphors.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of like when I was off at college, I was baling hay and riding tractors and delivering pigs and doing all this fun stuff at Auburn University. And so I started relaying some of those stories to how that works financially. And you know, obviously in the Bible, you know, there's things like Solomon says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, it was basically diversify. Divide your money by seven or eight is what Solomon said. And then we heard people like Ben Franklin saying, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Of course, he borrowed that from someone else, I'm sure.
Well, there was a lot of wisdom in our early founders when it came to not only government, but also with money.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of all teaching. And pastors were very involved back in the day of the founders in government issues as well. So the kind of advice you would get from a pastor in the late 1700s would be somewhat different than what a lot of pastors talk about today. And they were not held back, let's say, in talking about some of these issues. But stewardship is something, again, that is as old as is the Bible. And how we handle what we've been given. I mean, going all the way back, I mean, we've been given quite a charge by God to take dominion and to live with an eye on that day. We're to live today for that day. And that's really a lot of what stewardship is, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, people sometimes say, well, you know, stewardship's in the Bible. You know, that's about tithing, right? And I go, no, stewardship, the concept is in the Bible. You know, Joseph managed the resources for the 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of famine. There are lots of examples of someone going away and leaving the manager of the house to manage the resources.
Yeah, the parable of the talents.
The parable of the talents.
Yeah.
So in stewardship, it's a responsibility. It's not about 10% giving, because sometimes I'll see it, maybe a church report might say, here was our giving report, our stewardship report. Well, that's about the 10%. God cares about the 100%. Mm-hmm. It's not just the 10%, but he wants to know, how are you yielding with everything else? Mm-hmm. Are you maximizing your value to your community, to your brother, to your neighbor, to those you're working with? And also, you know, there's an important part of this for your family. So God wants you to be doing wonderful things for your family and let your family enjoy that as well.
I think it is so true that most people, with regard to the Lord and money, they think only in terms of that 10%. If they've had education about tithing and they believe the difference. But you're right. Everything that we have is from God. And it's really important how we, I guess you could say, look at it, what our attitude would be over these issues and what we do. And here's one thing that we have to do when we know something and we believe something, that's one thing. But acting on it is something else.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of stewardship is not just knowing it, but it's acting on it. It's putting it into practice.
You know, I would say it was about a little over 15 years ago, I read The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And one of the more impactful books I ever read about giving. And it was funny. I wanted to go buy some more books and I called the number. And Randy answers the phone. And I'm going, wait a second. You don't have a person there to handle this? Says, I want to order some books. I want to get a case for this Bible study I'm doing. And he says, no, just tell me where to send it. Can I send it to a church? And I said, sure. He says, oh, great. And he sold them to me real cheap. We had a wonderful conversation. He was basically working out of his garage. Oh. And I've talked with him two or three times. I've met him through Kingdom Advisors, another organization that I'm involved with. And met him, and you know, we laugh about, you know, how you start out, and he was being such a good steward by, you know, not renting space and being able to do things in his garage. And so we have to start where we are. And one of the things about the book is that we can pay it ahead. And we think about this as, you know, God's testing us. It's a test. It's a testimony. You know, we're there. And we're stewarding, we're managing, a good word for that. In fact, the English word, steward, means manager of pigs. Because you could walk away, go
and
on holiday.
And that's where you get the word pigsty.
Yeah. Pigsty, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you could go away and leave your cows out. And, you know, you have that pond and the cows can go down to the pond and get their water. And you could leave for a couple of weeks. But you can't do that with a pig. A pig needs to be like fed and cared for and taken care of. And so steward, this stewardship English word, came from that. Yeah.
That's really fascinating. I did not know that. Now, you were raised in this area. Mm-hmm. How early on did you meet the Lord?
So I came to Christ at 9 years of age, went to College Park Baptist Church, youngest of five. Parents are heavily involved in the church and had us doing lots of things, royal ambassadors, and, you know, Baptist Boy Scouts is what we used to call it. And so we were real heavily involved in things. I didn't have a strong faith, though. I mean, I had a saving faith, but I had to work things out over time. And funny, a lot of people go off to college and they want to party and go crazy. That was not me at all. I went off to college and actually found amazing Christians that loved the Lord, that discipled one another and cared deeply. And I got heavily involved and really came to a strong, much stronger faith in the Lord while going off to college.
Yeah, you're right. That is not the typical story No. for somebody going. And you said you went to Auburn, right?
I did, yes.
So you were a Tiger.
Yep.
In the SEC, and that's all great. My kids went to Florida, so we're Gators. Excellent. And those are two great programs right there. War Eagle, man, that's it. You know, again, going back though to what you said, finding the Lord, were there groups there that that really helped you, like college campus ministries?
Campus Crusade. In fact, I've still run into Jack McGill's still running around town here. He was up there at Auburn. Skip Savick, another guy with Campus Crusade. He's still involved, been involved in various things. Few other people. So that was one group, Covenant Christian Ministries. I got kind of tricked into helping out and supporting, and this girl that I liked taught me how to play the guitar.
Oh.
And so her objective was to get me to be the backup guitar player for the main guy because they needed a second guitar to
a rhythm
do
guitar
things.
Player.
Yeah, rhythm yeah. guitar player. Yeah. So she taught me that. And so that was kind of got involved in that. And then I wound up leading that, I guess, in my junior year.
Okay. That's exciting. Well, I'm a guitar player too. We got to talk about that. That's great, but not right now.
No.
So this is exciting, man, to see how God was forming you. At this point, did you have any idea that you were going to be involved in the business of stewardship?
Not really. I've had an interest in financial matters. In fact, you know, I grew up more on the poor side, and I tell people that in middle school, my friend Mike Pasosky and I, we were mowing 26 lawns at the time. We were working like crazy. We were in, involved in just anything we could to just stay busy 7 days a week. We worked extremely hard. We bought gold and silver and sold stuff. We had stamp collections. We paid for our bicycles. We both paid for our own college, paid for our own cars, our clothing, and found that responsibility of budgeting and setting aside and working hard diligently and earning and serving other people. Sometimes the serving other people, people are shocked to hear some of the work that I did. And some of it was, you know, rough. I mean, you know, people were making fun of you. I actually worked for almost 3 years at the Country Club of Orlando. And sometimes I'd see friends from high school laughing at me as I'm taking out the trash and stuff like that. It was a little embarrassing, but hey, it was great. It was great for me. I look back at that as a favorable thing.
Well, as you look at that and realize what God did in your life through all of that, and then you look at what is the story a lot today with a lot of people with gaming about 20 years ago, really getting to be big, and so many people are more involved into those kinds of efforts. They're not doing a newspaper route. They're not doing what you did with mowing lawns. And because you were actually, it sounds like building a business, you and your friend, you had a business. And so there was an entrepreneurial spirit that was happening inside of you guys. And you were taking that and doing a lot more than just spending your time and getting money for a bike.
Yeah, it was, we were opportunists. We were constantly thinking about what is the next project? How can we take something that's broken down, fix it, and sell it for a profit.
Wow.
You know, I remember we were cleaning out a tree. Somebody asked us to clean up a tree, and there was a bunch of mistletoe, and it was right before Christmas. And so we cut the mistletoe out. We went out and bought some ribbon and tied it to it. We were out selling it at the Winn-Dixie, and we were selling mistletoe for like 25 cents. And
we made
some money. It was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, just something that was being cut out of a tree.
Well, it was garbage, so.
Yeah. That's
right. Turn that garbage into something.
That is funny. That, you know, again, what advice would you have for parents who might be listening right now and they're thinking, I wish that my son or my daughter could get a hold of some of this principle. What advice would you have?
You know, Proverbs 18:16 says a man works on his gift. A person works on their gift and it makes room for them and brings them before great men and kings. That's about personal development. It's a really important verse in terms of like, God has uniquely gifted each child. So all three of our children are very unique. They're completely different. And God has created them that way. So my wife and I have prayed and worked diligently trying to figure out how do we shepherd, steward, encourage the good things and discourage the bad things. And so I would say that encouraging really good stuff. If your child has an inclination towards something and they have a talent, explore that, be open to that. Don't shut it down. Look for that. Right now, my daughter is really into cooking and she's in high school and she's an amazing cook. And 2 years ago, wouldn't have thunk it. Just would not have thought that she had any interest in cooking, but it just all of a sudden popped up.
Do you think that with regard, because this is an important area of stewardship, but with regard to their children and their children's activities and their inclinations, do you feel that parents often miss the boat with doing that kind of involvement? And I'm wondering what are all of the reasons that you would see why they don't?
Well, I have to tell you, there's a tremendous amount of pressures, peer pressures, parental pressures, coach pressures, So my oldest son, who's graduated from college just recently, and he was very athletic. And so wherever he would go, coaches would show up and they'd say, oh, I want your son on my team, whatever the sport. And they were, oh, he could be great. And then the next thing you know, we're stroking checks for trainers and all this other stuff. And so it's really business and it's people trying to trying to create that opportunity. He played a couple of years of basketball in college. And but when I look back at all of that training, it was great discipline for him. It helped him tremendously in things that he's doing right now for work. And so my daughter was in gymnastics for 9 years. And at the end, she didn't really like it that much. And she was vocal about that. So my wife turns to her last year and said, are you regretful of us pushing you in that gymnastics for 9 years? She goes, oh, no, I get ahead of things. I mean, she's on top of things for school. She's able to do stuff and have a discipline and a work ethic that I don't see. It's so rare today. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thankful for it. My wife and I were just leaning into what are their interests, but then trying to encourage and push that along, but we don't want to push them too far.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think leaning in is a good way to express that and really being aware, because leaning in means that you're giving your attention, your eyes are on the situation, you're really helping from the distance that you need to be, as opposed to being out in front of them and doing everything for them.
Yes.
I find that many parents really overly coddle their much older kids way too much.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I'll tell you one quick story that happened at our old house. My son came to me and he was playing baseball. He was about 11 years old in Babe Ruth League. And he came to me, he says, Dad, I need a new bat. I said, well, how much does that cost? And he goes, $300. I go, wait a second. We were just at the store and they were like $79 bats. What's wrong with that $79 bat? And he goes, well, no, that's not what the kids who get the home runs, they got the $300 bats. And I go, I am not buying you a $300 bat. He got upset with me. And I said, no, no, no. He is literally, we're in the front yard. And he's like shouting in my face and he's angry. And I said, no. And I said, I will help you. And he stomped off. He ran over and got the wagon. He's 11 years old. He gathers a bucket and a whole bunch of car cleaning equipment, and he took off. And this was Sunday at about 1 o'clock. He came back about 7 o'clock that night, dripping in sweat, exhausted. And he had gone around washing cars. And that's not the best part. So he made, I don't remember, it was like $70 or something. Mm-hmm. He was washing cars. But what was so powerful was one of the doctors down the street had a brand new expensive car, and he came down and he says, your son was fabulous. He's the first person, I've only had the car a week, is a very expensive car, and I watched him in detail and he was fabulous. His attitude was great. He said, yes, sir. He did all these things. Another lady wrote an amazing letter to my wife and I. Hmm. You have a wonderful son, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Well, that's a wonderful story. And, you know, sometimes saying no is a positive thing.
Absolutely.
And it can actually bring about changes in their attitude, in their heart. It might not happen immediately and probably won't, but it's worth it in the end. My guest today is Scott Thomas, and he's with Stewardship Matters. And we have a bunch of things to talk about, charitable strategies. And do you know what a Sherpa is? Well, if you don't, you're going to find out in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
In the studio with me today is Scott Thomas, and he is the owner of Stewardship Matters. Really enjoyed getting to hear your stories and finding out about your approach, which is so wonderful, and it's biblical. And, you know, this this whole issue again of stewardship is such a big issue, well beyond our tithing. It really goes into the how we live our lives and how we see our lives integrating into the church and in the kingdom of God, and how we spend our days, how we spend our time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All are reflected in stewardship.
Yeah, there's an expression that says, you want me to know a lot about you real quickly. Let me see your checkbook and let me see your calendar.
Wow, those two things. Calendar representing time, checkbook representing our money. And, you know, I love that old picture that I received years ago, that the definition of what money really is as much a representative of us. So it kind of shows where our values are, what we're doing, how we're spending our time, and our ability to complete a task. Because if no one completes a task, they don't get paid. And so it says a lot about a person's character.
Absolutely.
So I've got a question for you. You've written down a phrase, and I'm intrigued by it, and it is the phrase perfect storm. Now, when I hear that, I think of the movie,
and
what a storm that was, those poor guys on that boat when that wave was coming. But when it comes down to our understanding of charity, of charitable giving, of strategies, what do you see the perfect storm being?
So the reason why I wrote down, this is an opportunity for a perfect storm. Conditions are very ripe right now. So think about interest rates. You look at CDs, 3, 4, 5 year CDs, maybe paying 1%. You're
or
looking
less.
At some of the lowest interest rates, and people are not earning money on that money very well. It's very difficult. Another thing is a lot of uncertainty in the stock and bond market. So the fluctuations of volatilities and the markets moved up tremendously. And, you know, usually what goes up comes down, and people are concerned about that down and, you know, taking money out when it's down. There's also a big need for a steady cash flow. In past years, people had pensions. They had company pensions. They'd retire, and for the rest of their life, they had, you know, a few thousand dollars, you know, provide for them. Now they're relying on stock market, bond market, CDs. And with those rates being so low, there is a big need for a steady cash flow. It also taxes. So under the American Families plan that's been proposed, the highest tax rates on capital gains would go up 86%. 86% increase.
That's incredible.
People don't know that there are a lot of embedded taxes and cost and fees. So some of those cost and fees, and that's why people call me a philanthropic Sherpa as it relates to this. So in the giving strategies, if you were to take money from one source and cash that in, it could actually raise the cost of your Medicare supplement. It could negatively impact you on your taxes. It could create a tax on your Social Security. It could, you know, bump you into the next bracket or get rid of a potential credit that you have. So there are a lot of things, moving parts. There's a big need for a tax-advantaged income. Municipal bonds don't pay very much right now. They used to pay a few years ago. The people would say, yeah, I'm getting 4 or 5% on a municipal bond. Today, you're not getting a municipal bond that's going to pay you anywhere like that. So it's also more difficult to get a charitable deduction. So a couple of years back, the standard deductions in taxes was 24,000. It moved up to 12,000 for an individual, 24,000 for a married couple. Mm-hmm. When you're over 65, it's a little bit higher. And so saying, okay, well, a lot of people that I talk to have paid down debts, maybe they're debt free, and now they have very low interest rates. They're looking for a cash flow. They need a cash flow. They would like get a deduction periodically above that standard deduction, so it's meaningful. They actually get to use a charitable gift, as opposed to just taking the standard deduction and never using those charitable gifts. And so we have strategies to bunch multiple years together, or super bunch, or strategies that you may get an income stream that's tax advantage, get a partial tax deduction that actually works for you, and provide greater certainty. So the conditions are really perfect in somebody that's open and willing to say, maybe I'm going to do things a little different. Maybe I'm going to get a cash flow from, for example, charitable gift annuities. work with organizations nationwide, mm-hmm. and have done a lot of talks with nonprofit professionals and the charitable giving community, but then also for the individual donors to show them, hey, this is a perfect storm, and here are some possible solutions.
So in your use of the perfect storm, there's really a two-sided effect. There's the fact that things are right now not the greatest mm-hmm. condition, not the greatest environment. I remember when CDs paid over 10% mm-hmm. annually, and that's a nice return on what you wouldn't even have to tie the money up on a long term to get a six-month CD and make really good. Now you make pennies on that, and yep. It's tough. So there's a side of the perfect storm that's not great for investment, but yet there are other things that you're saying you can do, which makes this a great opportune time to get involved in that kind of a thing.
Yes.
Well, now you've mentioned this word, and prior to my seeing your notes about a Sherpa, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known exactly. I thought, was that a type of a permanent marker? No, wait a minute. That's a Sharpie. You know what? So what is a philanthropic Sherpa?
So if you were going to go visit a foreign country or a city, and all of a sudden they go, hey, we're having a tour. We're going to have a professional guide take you on this tour. And they're explaining the artwork, the culture, the fountains, the beauty, the restaurants to avoid, the restaurants to, you know, go and experience something really wonderful that's maybe off the beaten path. So that's a guide. And really a Sherpa, when you get out into the mountains and you are hiking in the mountains, if you don't follow their instruction, their wisdom, their guidance, it can be really devastating. You could die.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you could
fall off a cliff. Yeah. You could get into an area where there might be dangerous animals. And so they can redirect. And in the world of taxes, in the world of risk, in the world of investments, in the world of how things are put together, we want to reduce risk. We want to make it a more pleasurable experience. There's also a component that's not related to taxes and the technicalities, and that's really there's different kinds of givers. Okay, so there's multiple ways. There's people who give because they want to be recognized. There's people who want to give anonymously, but they don't know that they can actually give significant money and do it anonymously and nobody would know who they are, but yet they're getting the tax deductions. Mm-hmm. And they can learn that maybe using something like a donor advice fund or a private family foundation, married up to a donor advice fund, or doing some other techniques would yield them well. I'll give you a practical example of a lot of people that I did 12 of these distributions yesterday from an IRA, and it's called a qualified charitable distribution. So if you're over 70 and a half, okay, you can do this method. And if you're over 72, you have to take what's called the required minimum distribution. So when somebody has money in an IRA, 401k, 403b, 457, any of these qualified dollars, they're going to be taxed coming out. But there's a tax neutral. And I say the word tax neutral because there's not a tax deduction when you give it to the charity, but there's also not the negative impact. Mm-hmm. And what would happen, like this lady who is late 70s, we did about $15,000 for her required minimum distribution out of her IRA. We went to 12 different charities. We're having the checks sent to her because she wants to write a little note and send it on and send it to her church and various places. And if she took that $15,000, it would actually make part of her Social Security taxable. It creates mm-hmm. another problem. Or if you're at the $88,000 taxable level, that can actually bump your Medicare tax from 144 to like 170. And you're like, well, why did my Social Security go down? Because you sold something or your income was up. There's five levels of Medicare tax. You could be paying over $500 a month per person mm-hmm. for Medicare if your income's up high.
What do you think is the biggest weakness that people who are boomers, as they are aging, as they're getting close to that retirement age, when there are all of these other fees that are out there that they may not even know, what do you think the biggest need that this group has right now?
If they're charitably inclined, if they currently give, there are ways in which you can step back and say, hey, I'm giving $5,000 or $10,000 a year to a charity. Is there a way in which that could leverage? You know, this, I mentioned this idea of bunching. This has been around for decades. Hmm. And so what bunching does is it would take, for example, 3 or 4 years, and we would squeeze it down and say, let's go put $40,000 into this donor advice fund. And that $40,000 plus their property tax might be $5,000. So they're at $45,000 deduction that year. The next year, they would take the standard deduction. Mm-hmm. And let's say that's $24,000. So if they only gave $10,000 a year, and you say, okay, there's $10,000 plus my $5,000 for my property tax, I'm at $15,000. I'm under the threshold of the 24. And so by doing strategies like this, we often find on average, for the average, is about $1,500 to $2,000 a year tax advantage, meaning that that's extra cash flow that you can give away. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like alchemy. It's like we've created, we found money, asset archaeology. We found money that we didn't know existed. And now you can use that to build kingdom. You can use that to further the things that are important to you.
Are you finding that people in the church in this day and age are as, let's say, charitable as they once were?
I'm not sure that I'm the right person to be asking, because I don't have a broad perspective in talking with lots and lots of people about their giving patterns. The people who come in to see me are generally more generous, the majority. Mm-hmm. But I have also found some people who are not generous at all, that for the purposes of finding out, hey, I can change some of my IRA to a Roth IRA and do this charitable thing with this appreciated asset and get a tax advantage income stream. Guess what? The only person that loses is the government. Hmm. So my children get more, I get more, I control taxes, but now I can start giving, and they've never given before. And so I've had some pretty significant success stories for people who weren't necessarily charitable, but they all of a sudden go, well, now I can be charitable because we found this money and it didn't cost me anything. Mm-hmm. So it's less painful. In terms of the numbers overall, Giving USA has some reports, and they give reports each year. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but religion has been dropping a little bit, and community healthcare and community services, food banks and things like that have been increasing. And so there is a shift towards more of a parachurch or a things that are helping the community versus the traditional, I'm giving 10% to my church, and that model is declining from what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. It is a troubling thing to realize the culture's shift away from involvement in a church. And, you know, as you were talking about, when people are in the church and they maybe hadn't been giving, hadn't been a part of that generosity, that heart of being generous, that you're finding that a lot of your people, when they do, they're missing out on the joy. And I believe the contentment that having a generous heart really does bring. But I'm sure you get to see people, their eyes would light up when they're realizing my money's making a difference in the kingdom.
So when you think about Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, and it says, Jesus and his disciples were with Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, and other women. And these women were giving out of their resources to fund the ministry of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when we think about that, this is amazing. So yeah. Joanna was married to Hussa, I believe, and he was the chief steward of Herod. Herod was not a good king. He was not a good man. So Hussa probably wasn't a good man. And that money was earned almost like blood diamonds. And so God can take something that might not be necessarily good or tainted money and use it for good. And in reality, it's about taking our limited resources and turning it into eternal, the eternal results of saying we're sending it ahead, as Randy mm-hmm. Alcorn. We are investing into the kingdom. We're investing into souls. Mm-hmm. And you know, two things last forever: the souls of men and the word of God.
That's right.
And when we invest into those things, that's always a positive return. You know, God is going to open the floodgates. And so if you're not sure about giving, give to something that's about the Word of God.
That's right. That's well said. It's going to last forever.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily the traditional church. Mm-hmm. So I get some people who say, I had a bad experience. I say, well, if you don't give there, let's go find another place. Oh, Wycliffe Bible Translators or DeVar or one of these organizations that's bringing the gospel to the world. Do one of those. Mm-hmm. Let God work through that, because at such a time as this, I've got this one donor. I just love talking with her. She's always wanting to give more and more and more. Scott, how can we give more? Show me a way. Hey, I think I'd like to give to this organization. Would you research this one and let me know if it's okay? And so I do that with people. I have a lot of resources that I can tap into and give them practical advice, things I know about a lot of organizations.
Oh, that's really wonderful. And that heart for giving, I know Randy Alcorn's book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, mm-hmm. That changed our church, that we went through that book years ago. And the impact that it brings when you talk about the eternal value of giving, it goes way beyond our life right now. It goes into eternity, literally. And Randy's done a wonderful thing with not only that book, but the treasure principle that you were talking about. A small book, mm-hmm. but yet a very powerful book. My guest today is Scott Thomas. Give us your website real quick.
StewardshipMatters.net. StewardshipMatters.net.
Just like that. And we'll be back with Scott with one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back for one more segment with Scott Thomas from Stewardship Matters. I'm enjoying this. Anytime we talk about something that is of the kingdom of God, it's always a good thing. When you're talking about something that's the kingdom of God and a blessing both in our life now and in the one to come, that's an even better thing. And of course, everything about the kingdom, really, at the end of the day, has that feature, mm-hmm. because we know that our life here is only a warm-up for our life there. So everything we do matters, and that's why I like your title so much. Stewardship matters too, mm-hmm. and it is something that we should all give attention to. Now, there's something that you mentioned in our break, and I'm intrigued by it. God's math. What is that all about?
God's math, an abundance story. So the year was 2004. My two boys came home from preschool and kindergarten, and they had one of these little styrofoam, little Dixie cup type things with a little pole bean in it, and it was growing out. And they were not impressed. and so I get excited about growing and beans and trees and things like that. I just love the miracle of sunshine and soil and life and the seed. Yeah. It just fascinates me. And it always has fascinated me. My boys were not happy. I went to bed that night and I literally woke up in the middle of the night and I was like upset. To the point where I'm going, I don't usually wake up in the middle of the night and I don't feel this way. God help me. Lord, what should I do? And it was almost like God whispered, said, take them to the store, get a tray, get some soil, and go get the biggest flower you can possibly find that's fun.
Hmm.
And so we went to the store that weekend and I took them and we got a tray, 36 little slots on it. We bought a package of burpee seeds. They were mammoth, $1 for burpee seeds. There were 36 seeds in that. So it was interesting. We had a 36 tray and I was like, okay, well, this feels really cool. We plug them in there. And I said, so it's going to take about 7 to 10 days. We'll have these nice little sprouts and we'll see what's going on. Well, 7 days later, we only had 33 that germinated out of the 36. I said, guys, this is a life lesson. Not everything works out like it says. This package showed this beautiful flower here, and three of them didn't even work. And they said, yeah, Dad. And then about a week later, it was going to be time to transplant them. And 30 of them looked beautiful. I mean, the leaves were perfect. Everything was beautiful, but three of them were kind of shriveled up. And I said, look at this.
Another life lesson.
Another life lesson. And they're going, wow, what's that all about? I says, these three didn't come out exactly the way. And so we talked about that a little bit over lunch and had a nice conversation. So we took the 33 and the three didn't make it. The three that were shriveled up for whatever reason, they just couldn't make it. They couldn't survive. But the other 30, 6 to 12 foot stalks.
Wow.
Front yard, mammoth seeds. I mean, we're talking about the heads on these things were like 14, 15, 18 inches across. And they were massive. People were stopping. They were getting their cameras out, their phones out. Hey, can I take a picture in your front yard? And my kids, we'd be out playing ball in the front yard. People were stopping. People were honking and waving. And what's that all about? Love your sunflowers. Mm-hmm. The kids were excited about the sunflowers. They were excited about this. And this was wonderful. And then I thought, okay, well, is there something else God wants to teach us here? Because this is God's math, okay? And so the birds had gotten a little bit of it. Some squirrels came along and got some of the seeds. We harvested the seeds. We were bringing them out. We started counting them. And we had these three pieces of paper, and they had their little bowls, and we started counting them up. And I don't know, we made it to a few thousand, and they quit. They quit. They said, Dad, we're tired. We want to go on.
Man.
So what I did is I counted out a bunch more, and I got it into like a quart. And then I measured that quart as to what we had. And then I did all the rest of the seeds, and I did it by measurement. The 30 seeds became about 72,000 seeds.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking 3 months, Mike. 3 months. And I said, guys, let's do another math problem. So what if we could do that three more times? You know, it takes 4 months, you know, from start to finish and the whole thing. So if we could do that, if we had the soil and we had the sunshine and the rain, and if we took those 72,000 seeds and now plugged those in the ground for 3 months and then harvested those and did the next, it'd be over 28 billion seeds. So at about $30 a package, we turned a $1 burpee seed package into $1 billion of retail value. And that's the way God's math works. Mm. You can go outside, you can look at that oak tree out front, and it came from one small little acorn. But then you see these squirrels scurrying around, and you see thousands of acorns. And it happens every year.
Yeah.
In agriculture, it's so wonderful to see how something dies and God uses this to flourish and to provide. And it's a beautiful thing. And we need not forget that God's in the work of abundance. He's in the work of making a little bit. So I carry that on to like the artist. You can have $20, $30 worth of materials. You take those materials and beautiful painting. It could be worth hundreds. It could be thousands. It could be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands off of something that didn't cost very much. Mm-hmm. And so I love to remind people that you have a talent, develop that talent, and then ask God to show you what should you do with that talent, to invest that talent, and can God bless that in a way that could bring glory, but also to bring financial gain to that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people really forget the fact that God wants to bless, God wants to multiply, mm-hmm. and that's something I learned a long time ago about saving is that once you start saving and once, you know, there's an investment that's happening, even in times like now, there's still a kind of a multiplied effect where things are just going up exponentially mm-hmm. in savings. It hits that point. Now, when you were doing this with your kids, there were several days, at least in the beginning, where there wasn't a lot of activity. Did mm-hmm. they ever get discouraged before it started multiplying?
No, they were completely on board, knowing that it took at least a week to mm-hmm. be able to see anything. So their expectations were not like, well, when is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? They were okay. And the fact that it only took 7 days to have, I don't know, maybe 4 to 7 foot sprouts out of that, that was actually pretty quick. And the fact that they could see this picture on the front of the burpee seed, it's kind of like a puzzle. You know, you're building a puzzle. You like to see that picture. You want to see what the end result is. And so I gave them that end result, and we had that like on the refrigerator, on a magnet, so that they could look at that and be reminded, yeah, there's going to be this big, beautiful flower.
Was it hard for them to believe that that little seed that they planted in that container was ever going to look like that?
Oh my, Mike, I've got a picture in my office, and I've done YouTube video on this God's Math abundance story, and I love sharing that story. And I pulled that out. And so my boys were, I don't know, three and a half feet tall, and we got 12-foot stalk next to them. And it just dwarfs them. It's oh, absolutely, it's beautiful. It's classic.
Well, that love sounds like that. A great thing that any homeschooling mom could do mm-hmm. with their kids. And you said you have a
mammoth
YouTube?
Mammoth sunflowers are fabulous.
Wow. I'm going to have to do that in our backyard because I like sunflowers. I like to look at them. And this sounds like something that I'm going to have to check into. Share with our listeners, if you will, a couple of what you would consider to be practical ideas for tax smart giving.
Sure. So tax smart giving, I talked about the charitable distributions from an IRA. So it was tax neutral. So that one's a real practical one that's out there. The CARES Act. Mm-hmm. The CARES Act provided last year $300 above the line. Somebody that doesn't even itemize, they don't itemize, they're taking the standard deduction, they still get $300 off. This year, that's doubled for jointly for $600. So don't forget that in 2021, you can have $600, even if you don't itemize, there's $600 of charitable distributions that doesn't have to have come from an IRA. Mm-hmm. That's just cash contributions to any charity that's qualified. Mm-hmm. So that's a practical thing. There are other practical things that aren't necessarily technically a tax issue specifically, but might be a practical issue. I'll give you an example. I've got someone right now that we set up an IRA. And she's concerned because her son is very responsible and daughter is not responsible. In fact, daughter has a history of having other people scam her for money mm-hmm. and, you know, take advantage of her. And so if you want to protect that child and put a guide in place, one of the things that used to be that people could do was something called a stretch IRA. They're no longer available. Stretch IRA is gone. And I was under the Secure Act in 2019. They did away with that. But there is a mechanism where we could do a charitable gift annuity or a charitable remainder trust. There's some other techniques where we could actually put in place a monthly income for life for that daughter to protect her. And it pays her a lifetime of income that nobody can steal or get from her in any form or fashion. So that's a practical way in which they're concerned about, here's someone who's not going to be able to manage money. Mm.
So basically, it's building a pension for her.
Yes.
That's really...
I call it a charitable pension. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a charitable money tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to give people a visualization. You think, okay, you go out back and you pull that money off the tree each month.
Yeah, right. It would be nice if I could find a couple of those trees. I would make room for them in my backyard. That is great. Who do you see as your audience for giving strategies?
So for giving strategies, it could be people from all walks of life. If I can just encourage them, and that's one of the prayers I have for God, is God, show me how I can help anyone. Anyone that's wherever they start. So from the low end and reminding them, hey, you got this CARES Act stuff you can do, or the charitable distributions from the IRA. And it can be all the way up to somebody that's mega wealthy. Mm-hmm. One of the strategies I do with a friend of mine for some mega wealthy, he works with some professional athletes. They get $5, $10, $20 million signing bonuses. So it all hits at once. And so it could be that it's an attorney who has a class action settlement. And all of a sudden, they're getting $10 million. And they've normally been making $200,000 a year, and all of a sudden, they're making $10 million. Well, in that year, they had the $10 million. I can find a mechanism that will allow them to take charitable deductions for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years and take that today. Mm-hmm. And actually bunch it, super bunch it today. But, you know, there are limits on the amount of income. So if they had $10 million, you know, if they could knock away up to $3 million.
So not only does it help them from the standpoint of being a giver, to something that they would even like to do, it helps them in tax implications.
Yes.
They would be paying that money anyway, a different way, if they didn't do this.
Yeah, there's some neat things that can be done in the donor advice fund. So there's over 1,000 different donor advice funds, and I work with several of the top ones out there. And some people don't know that you can actually have impact investments. And so that can be for kingdom impact. It may be for environmental impact. It may be private businesses. You can actually have charitable dollars that are working inside of a bucket and then have that go and invest into a for-profit business, earn for-profit nice income from something back into this charitable bucket and not pay taxes on it.
Wow.
But it's all going back out the door for charity.
Well, that just goes now, shows that we need a Sherpa. We need a philanthropic Sherpa like Scott Thomas to help us with all of these things. It's been great having you up here, my friend. Thank you for coming up. Give us your website one more time.
Yes, it's Stewardship Matters. That's StewardshipMatters.net, StewardshipMatters.net.
And Scott is available. And again, you have YouTube videos that are
so
out there.
So my YouTube channel is called Stewardship Matters. So if you went to YouTube, you clicked in Stewardship Space Matters, then you'd find my channel. And I've got about 250 videos up there that I've produced, and about 70 of them are on charitable giving.
That's wonderful, including God's Math.
Absolutely. God's Math and Abundance Story.
There's something that I'm going to be checking out right there. Scott Thomas, my guest today, and friends, thank you as well. We've enjoyed having you along with us in this conversation, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.